right. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. My name is Pete. I'm one of the pastors here. I am super glad to be together today. Today we get to continue our series on Jesus's I am statements. So seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus starts off by saying, I am, and then he fills in the blank. And so far, we've heard about how Jesus is the bread of life. I loved the homework that week. My wife and I made zucchini bread and focaccia bread, gave away half and ate half of it. Last week, we got to hear Rena's really wonderful message on Jesus being the light of the world. This week, we get to hear about Jesus as the gate or the door, kind of depending on your translation. I'm going to use the New Living Translation. It happens to be by far my favorite for preaching. And so we're going to go with, I am the gate today. You might remember from Rena's message last week that Jesus just healed a man born blind. Can you imagine seeing light for the first time as an adult? And that's when Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And I've seen some miracles, genuine, actual miracles, but I haven't seen anything like a person being born blind all of a sudden able to see. And you can imagine what word of a miracle like that does in a community where everybody's known everybody their whole life long in a 1 to 2 mile radius. Word spreads really fast, right? And the religious leaders of Jesus' day had some rules, and one of them was nobody can work on the day of rest. And Jesus healed this guy on the day of rest. And so this made them concerned. Maybe Jesus isn't a good guy. Maybe he's a bad guy. At the same time, Jesus was becoming incredibly popular, and the religious leaders had another very understandable concern, and that's that the people would rise up and riot against Rome. The Jewish people believed that when the Messiah came, he'd be a military leader, and he'd lead them in battle, and they would overthrow kingdoms and become rulers of the world. Rome had squashed every rebellion in this area of the world horrifically. The entire town was excavated in my lifetime near where Jesus was born, and 200 men, women, children, babies, everyone in the town crucified because they had risen up against Rome. And so the religious leaders who are very concerned about maintaining their power and their position are investigating. And they call in this man who got healed, and they call in his parents, and they call him in repeatedly to testify. And this man and his parents are scared because they are common people with no power, like some of us. Can we get a woot for common people with no power? Woot, all right? So many of the people Jesus healed were. And that brings us to John 9:35. So when Jesus heard what had happened to this man who had been healed, he asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. Well, you've seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. And then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they can see that they're blind. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby, these Pharisees are the religious leaders of Jesus' time. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, are you saying we're blind? If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, Jesus replied, but you remain guilty because you claim you can see. And so we see something about here about Jesus that fits with the character of God. The Bible says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And I think that's a great passage to remember for the rest of your life. Anytime you're looking at the world and you have someone claiming to follow Jesus, to be a leader, to have something that you might want, if they are proud, God is against them, follower of Jesus or not. God opposes people who build themselves up and make themselves the center of attention. What we want to do is look to those who are humble, because that's who God gives grace to and gives favor to. And then Jesus puts this another way. He says, I've come to help those who are spiritually blind so that they can see. And I've come to show these people who think they're so spiritually wise that they're actually blind. What he's saying here is, hey, all of you, Pharisees, followers, guy who just got healed, if you would see that I am from God, you would receive grace. But those of you who insist your rules are more important than the presence of the Son of God, you put yourself beyond the reach of that grace. And that's when he shares today's story. And it's always good with the stories of Jesus to remember who he's talking to. His listeners include the man who was healed, the people following Jesus, and the religious leaders who don't want to accept him because they've got a better set of rules. So let's turn to John 10, verse 10, and see today's passage. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold," and that's like a sheep pen where you're kept safe at night and secure from predators. "Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come out to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice." This is a relatable story for everyone listening at the time. Shepherding was a common job in the ancient world. It's still a super common job in the Middle East. I had a professor in seminary who had, you know, been out doing shepherding and hanging out with shepherds in Egypt. Jesus is using a story that everyone can relate to make a claim that is so startling people can barely understand what he's saying. And he actually has two I am statements out of this. Sneak peek at next week. If you come next week, you get to hear John Hodges, one of our worship pastors, share about the second I am statement, and so you can read ahead. I love that Jesus spent a lot of time making the truth of God relatable to people. Jesus came to us as a person so that we could relate to God who is beyond us. And as a teacher, he often spoke truths that met people in their everyday lives. And so we expect that when Jesus speaks to us, it would be in words that we would understand. God can talk to you in a language that you understand. That's one of the things that God can do. Sometimes Jesus was okay with leaving things mysterious. Faith is often a mystery. Could I get an amen? I mean, that's just plain true, right? Most often, though, Jesus' meaning was pretty clear, and when it wasn't, sometimes he'd explain. And in today's passage, Jesus explains what this story is supposed to mean so that it's even more clear to all of us. Verse 6, "Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, and so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." The more time I spent with this passage, the more radical what Jesus is saying here seems to be to me. Usually when I read scripture and something seems super radical, as I spend time with it, it like connects with my understanding of the rest of scripture and I get to understand it. This one just felt more and more different than how I've looked at it in the past. Jesus starts by saying something that fits with his claims all through scripture. He says, "I am the gate through which you get to God." He says it again, yes, "I'm the gate." Jesus is saying he is the actual doorway into salvation. He, in his person, has come so that anyone through Christ can be saved. And that isn't just a trip to heaven, which would be worth it. Amen? Trip to heaven, no, I'm not trying to downplay. But this is actually meant to be an eternal life that starts now and is more rich and more satisfying wherever you are, because Jesus is with you in it. Jesus came so that we could freely come and go, finding good places to eat and walk and live. The Lord is our shepherd, just like we sang this morning. He came so we'd have rich and satisfying life. That's in this life as well as in the next. Jesus does want to give you a better life than you'd have without him. The world is broken, and Jesus' followers, that's still true. But in the end, Jesus says if we will enter through him into the salvation of God, even life here can be better than it was. And then he says something else here, and remember who his listeners are, the healed man, the followers, and the religious leaders that he just told were guilty because they claim they can see, and he's saying they're probably blind. He says all those who came before me to lead people to God were thieves and robbers. The thief's purpose, the purpose of these other religious leaders besides me, is to take away your life, to take away your money for themselves, to take what you have so that they can have more. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And when Jesus says that those who came before him were thieves and robbers, how do you think that made the Pharisees feel? Angry? Hurt? Right? There's no way that they could miss who he's talking about in this context. Jesus is not only claiming to be the pathway to salvation in this world and the next, he's saying the other pathways being offered are lies motivated by selfishness and ultimately motivated by the enemy of the sheep. Jesus is being intentionally provoking. He doesn't want them to think he's a good teacher, and he's not afraid of them thinking he's not a nice guy. And I almost feel bad saying that in Minnesota, because you guys might not know this, but Minnesota nice is worth way more than you think. It beats mean. Lots of the world is mean. I tell my friends from Arizona, I try to communicate Minnesota nice to them, and they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, if you were in a store, in a line with someone, they might smile at you and say hi. And my friends all go, why? Because in Arizona, that would mean this person is psychotic and dangerous. It literally would mean that. That's just like not something you do. Minnesota nice is worth something. Jesus is not Minnesota nice. He's not from around here. He wants to challenge his listeners. He's doing this on purpose. He's saying, hey, pay attention. I'm claiming to be God incarnate. And if you want to find eternal life, you have to deal with that. And he makes these claims again and again all through Scripture. We just finished our first week of Alpha Round 2, Alpha in person since COVID, right? And it was largely people from River Heights the first time around, and I loved it, had a great time at our table, really enjoyed Alpha. But of course, we always hope that there will be more guests, more people that are not coming from the church. And we plan to keep on running Alpha and to see more and more guests over the year. I did not expect it would happen as quickly as it has happened. I do not recognize a third or a half of the people who have signed up for Alpha this time around. And Alpha is a place where we have dinner, talk about questions of faith. It's very open. It's everybody gets to share, and we're here to listen and share what we believe as well. And I love having a night where we get amazing food and then discuss questions with real meaning to them and listen to other people's answer too. I think today's passage illustrates a point that Alpha makes about Jesus. I'm going to make it this morning. Jesus makes claims that mean he's either who he say he is, or he's crazy, or he's lying. He just doesn't leave any middle ground. If Jesus came and said, I'm a wise teacher, you should listen to me, which is what most religious figures say, that's what we want religious figures to say, then you could safely listen to his teaching and then appreciate or ignore it as you see fit, right? But he came and he said again and again, everyone else who says their way is the path to God is wrong. They're actually your enemy. I'm not just a good teacher. I'm the way to God. I'm the bread of life. I'm what God has given you to eat. Today he claims he is the path to a more rich and satisfying life. What would you say to a human who said that to you? I would say, I don't want any, like whatever it is, you know? Which means that C.S. Lewis, the famous author who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, one of the great minds of the 20th century, what he says is true. And I have not been comfortable with the sentence until I spent a bunch of time in this passage. I've changed my mind. He said, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or our Lord. And what he can't be is a good teacher. Because a good teacher who claims to be the actual gate to God, the actual path to a rich, satisfying life here, and eternal life after you die, that's not a good teacher, because it's not true. It's either a lie or it's the ravings of a crazy person. I have known two people who said that they were Jesus. They were meth addicts. I did not write down what they were saying and follow them around, right? We've seen cult leaders come and go. people who rise up and say, I have figured out the way. And they are wrong. And they are not the way. I want you to think about who Jesus claims that he is today, because he did want to provoke people into actually thinking about who he says he is. He claims to be the gate that lets us into salvation. And salvation is a deep and rich word with a ton of history behind it that his listeners would have understood. In the Hebrew scriptures, salvation is shalom. And shalom is the all-encompassing peace and rightness of God. It's the lion laying down with the lamb. It's people turning their swords into plows so that everybody has enough food to eat. It's a restored rightness between people and God and one another and all of creation, the earth that God has made, the universe. That's the kind of stuff that we are meant to step into through Jesus Christ. We're meant to come through the gate and experience God's shalom. You are made to experience God's peace in eternity and in the present. We don't get it perfectly yet, but we do get some. We're meant to join God in God's mission of redeeming all things, past and present and to come. We're meant to join God's plan to rescue creation, including us, and extending out and beyond us into the whole world, into all the people you could be inviting to Alpha, into all the earth that you've been given to take care of with your time. I'd like to pray into that invitation. God, I ask that you would open our ears to Jesus Christ, and even more, would you open our hearts to Jesus Christ? Would you help us to step in through the gate? I pray that you would not let us rest on nice words, because we actually need your help. We need your safety and your security. We want to be a part of your people. I ask, God, that you would help us step through Jesus Christ into salvation. And for you listening, I pray the peace of God for you. May God's peace touch your mind, your heart, and your body, even right now. Amen. Every one of the gospel writers, these really different guys who had a hard time getting along during Jesus' life, all of them record Jesus making these kind of claims. All of his followers' writings include these kinds of claims. And these writings that we now call the Bible, they're not a book written by a bunch of buddies with some agenda. They're a collection of writings from all the people we have record of who knew Jesus, or people who interviewed people who knew Jesus. And then they lived their lives out in all kinds of different places. And so I encourage you to consider, if you think Jesus was a good teacher, what does it mean when all his followers also say he claimed to be God? That's something no other major religion has claimed. If you're tempted to put Jesus in the good teacher category, I think Jesus' words today are actually intended to be troubling. I think that's his actual purpose in saying them, because I agree with C.S. Lewis for the first time in my life. The only thing Jesus can't be is a good teacher. And that's good news if you're following Jesus Christ. Jesus wants you to know it isn't just a matter of hearing some words and doing your best to try to do them. Has anyone tried like hard enough yet? I know I have. This is one thing I love in our recovery community, is we know we're powerless. Amen? Jesus wants you to know there's help, that he is the Son of God, that he has a place of safety and protection for you against the enemy, against the thieves and the robbers, that you don't have to live alone, that you can walk with our good shepherd, the Lord, our God, that you can actually find a richer and more satisfying life because of Jesus Christ. You know, if you've been around here for long, that during COVID, I also went through a divorce. COVID was a horror show for pastors. It cost America more than 10% of our churches and a huge number of people in ministry. We have a wonderful, super politically diverse church, and Every few years, someone will get offended by something political. But COVID got so gross, like 10% of the church was upset about things. We wore masks too soon. We didn't wear them soon enough. Like, there was just all this social grossness going on, making church rough. And divorce is awful. I don't recommend it to anyone ever. Losing your family is a hard thing. What does it mean to have a richer, more satisfying life when the world is so broken and screwed up, right? For me, the thing that kept me going week in and week out was coming here on Sundays. And for a few months, you know, I wasn't asked to work. I could just come and sit and be in God's presence. And I would look at the cross a lot and think about, you know, this is the stuff that Jesus came for. This is the stuff Jesus went through. This is the stuff God understands because he's been there. And it sustained me. In my 20s, I was married briefly while a drug addict, and the woman who left me, I decided I'm finally going to kill myself. I didn't decide that this time. I have a richer and more satisfying life, even if I was real sick for a while. I think that's what it means to have a richer and more satisfying life, is to go through the broken world that everybody else has to go through too, but to do it in the company of Jesus and his friends, to have fellow sheep who know the voice of the true God, who can say, yeah, we don't need all that anxiety. We don't need all that hatred. We don't need to go to war against our fellow man. We don't need to tear people down. We can be safe and secure because God loves us and because Jesus is alive. The great thing about Jesus as the gate is that Jesus is the most welcoming and loving guy in the history of people. We have on record him forgiving and welcoming the people crucifying him as he died. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Turning to the criminal on the cross next to him and saying, you're going to be with me today in paradise. We have record of him forgiving and including lepers, tax collectors, revolutionaries, reputed ladies of the evening. If Jesus is the gate, that means you are welcome. You can come on in. You do not have to be alone. You do not have to protect yourself. You can come into God, a place of safety. You'll have a life that may not always work out the way you dreamed, but a life that will always be better than it was, because God is always working. God is always good. God is always for you. The Bible says God is love. I want to invite the worship team to come back up now. If you're on the prayer team, today would be a great day to come up to one of the sides of the room. As we transition into worship and communion, we would love to pray for you. And if you are having trouble finding the rich and satisfying life that Jesus speaks about, ask someone else to pray for you. That's a thing I didn't mention, you know, through my divorce and COVID, is just having other people pray for me, because my faith was at here. And so come and get some prayer from somebody if you're in a place where you need it. I invite you to stand as you're able. I'm going to pass on three tips for putting the Word of God into practice as we've received it. Something to read, pray, and do. Tip number one, read John 10. You'll get today's story. You can reflect on that. And you'll be ahead of the curve for next week. You'll get to hear what John's going to preach out of next week as well. Tip number two, ask for God's help to find a rich and satisfying life. That's what Jesus says we're going to get as we come to God through him. And so ask God for what he promises. God, help me find your rich and satisfying life. Tip number three, invite someone to Alpha. I think there's a lot of mystery in how people get to God through Jesus. I think lots of people get to God through Jesus and don't realize that it was Jesus that got them there. But I think Jesus is making exclusive claims. He is saying it has to be through me. When we invite someone to come to Alpha, we are trying to introduce them to the living God who can help. Maybe you have somebody in your life that you could bring and come on down with them. I'll lead us in prayer as we transition into worship. So God, first we want to lift up those who are in the valley. in the shadow of death, grieving, broken, hurting. God sees you and loves you. As you give us the chance, we will see you and love you. And we just want you to know God cares and knows and wants to help. And God, we pray your help. We pray your rescue. We pray your answers. So often, they're hard for us to see. We ask that you would reveal what you're giving to your people. And all of us here, God, we hear Jesus. We hear him saying he's the path to you. Would you help us to deal with that? On behalf of those of us who want to come in, we say, yes, Jesus. Because of you, we enter in. Because of you, we know who God is. We ask you for that safety and security and shalom. We ask that you would take care of us. We ask that you would do stuff we can't. We ask that you'd help us do the teachings of Jesus. We ask that you'd send us out with your love and your power. We ask that you'd help us be on a mission, and that it would come from your strength and your presence in your life. We ask that you'd be with us as we worship and pray and receive communion, God. Thank you for the chance to do this again. Amen. Please come and receive prayer as you feel led. The team will lead us in song and let us know when the service is done. God bless you.